Right, well, we're looking at prayer this morning. I just love that time of prayer we just had together a few minutes ago, just everyone praying together. You know, my heart is for us as a community and everyone being involved. And with that in mind, I'm going to get everyone involved as we look at the story of Hannah this morning. My name is Jonathan. Aaron hasn't met me before, apparently, but I am Jonathan. My name means gift of God, which I achieve in my better moments. Today, as I say, we're looking at Hannah. And before we get to the person, I just want to start with her name. A name which actually got a similar meaning to mine, meaning favour or grace. What is that? What is favour? What is grace? Well, whereas mercy means not getting what we do deserve and not being punished for our crimes, grace means getting what we don't deserve. That's the simplest way I find of putting it. God's got such an amazing grace for us. I love some of those prayers people were just praying a few minutes ago. Ed and Luke just, you know, saying, God, we got it wrong, but, you know, God loves us. He's got such an abundant grace for us. His heart is always for us. He's smiling on us. He's loving us. That's too dramatic. Alright. When we first meet Hannah, she's not in the place of grace or favour. Culturally at the time, women were stigmatised, that is, they were looked down on, to put it mildly, if they didn't have children. Something of that stigma, unfortunately, remains in our culture today, but I don't want us to get sucked into that right now. What I do want to note is that we can often all feel shame at not meeting the expectations placed on us by society or even by each other. And I believe that God wants to bring grace into our lives today in these areas. And that means us showing grace and acceptance for one another. So I want to ask you today this question: where are you? Are you in a place of knowing God's grace and favour, or a place of being distant from God? As we read this story, we're going to see how Hannah moves from a place of being empty and despised to a place of blessing and grace. And I want to pray over you and over all of us now that we too will know God's abundant favour, grace and blessing over the coming days. I just want to pray a few words from Ephesians 3. Just pray for all of us that we may have power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, like I said, I want to get a few of us involved. I've spoken to a few of you. Thank you to my volunteers for coming to act out the story of Hannah. So, can we welcome, we've lost one of the slides. We don't need Hannah for the story of Hannah, do we? In the meantime, can I welcome Catherine, Joe and Aaron up here?
I'm happy to be Hannah if need be. I can multitask, have fun.
Hannah Barb.
Great, so we're going to have the text on the screen. We haven't rehearsed this. My willing volunteers were willingly volunteered not too long ago.
To the slaughter.
To the slaughter, yes, that's right. But I want to introduce you to... you are Eli.
Yes.
Good, right. We'll find out who you are. So you're the high priest. You're in charge.
Fantastic.
Good. All right, we'll come back to you shortly. You are a certain man.
Certain man.
Yeah, verse 1. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephraimite. You've got two wives. You've got, we've lost one of them. Peninnah is right here. And I'm guessing Anna's going to make a dramatic entrance shortly. Perhaps we should wait for Hannah to listen.
Hannah! Maybe if you call loud enough, Hannah
will This is a very rehearsed pantomime.
Hannah!
Oh no!
don't think we're allowed to have children. I don't think she hurt us.
John, you didn't
use
the call.
Sorry.
Three.
Yeah,
keep going.
You have to finish.
I have a microphone. Go on. But I don't think she has. It is on, isn't it? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, well, I feel like I talked too much anyway. I guess I am stalling for time, so.
I'd be so stressed if I was on the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, our opponent had two roles. One was still Hannah, and the other Penny Lara. Penny Lara had children, but Hannah had none. Right, year after year, can you go on a journey? This man was up in his time to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. Let's take a journey around the congregation. You can go with him, Rose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
year after year, this man went up in his time to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. You're in a good spot there. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion. Because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb.
And what cooks?
Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Do you want to add a little bit here, Penelope?
Don't have children. It's
all of you. Good, I
like it. Your eye's ticking. It's so mean. It's probably because I eat raw meat.
This went on year after year. And then Hannah went up to the house of the Lord. Her rival provoked her, so she wept and she would not eat.
You don't have kids! No! You don't have kids more!
Her husband Elkanah, clearly on the ball, would say to her,
"What's
saying?
What
are you saying? I don't know. Why are you weak?
Why are you downhearted?
Don't it be more to you than 10 sons?
Okay, so we've got some kind of clue what's going on. I'm just going to pause there a moment. Peninnah, in case you haven't noticed, is an example of how not to treat people. She seemed to be less fortunate or in a lower status than ourselves. Jesus is very clear about this kind of attitude, but Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different." So just a note, Peninnah is not a golden example for us to follow here. Let's go on. Verse 9, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his cajon, sorry, his chair, by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In a deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying in verse 11,
"Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son or a daughter, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on their head."
As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her,
"How long are you going to stay drunk? Get off the bed.
Like
better than this."
Exactly. So clearly the high priest on the ball here.
"Now you got it wrong, my friend,"
Hannah replied.
"I am a woman who is deeply sad. I have not been drinking any alcohol, not even gin, and I was just pouring my soul out to the Lord. Do not take your servant to be a wicked woman who drinks gin. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief."
Eli answered,
"Go in peace. And may the Lord grant you what you desire."
"Thank you. May your servant, I, find favour in thine eyes."
Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast.
Oh.
Just pause there for a second. You can see Hannah here praying out of desperation. We aren't actually told whether she's prayed. It's good pause, I like it. We aren't actually told whether she's prayed for somebody before. We might assume she has, but perhaps not. How many times do we complain or get bitter and we haven't actually asked God for the solution? Good start point. Let's talk to God. James 4, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. Verse 19. Early the next morning, they rose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah, take your wives home.
All right,
nice.
Apparently we're making
love. We're going to act out the next bit. No, we're not.
Oh, my God.
Elkanah, no, love to his wife,
Hannah. Not me!
And the Lord remembered her. Just to be clear, remembered her doesn't mean God has forgotten about her. Remembered is a look down on in favour. You know, God draws close at this moment. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son.
I asked my son if he would wish to take part. He was a little bit unclear on this.
Peter,
do you want to come and play with us?
Yeah.
Come and say hi to
him. She named him Samuel, saying, verse 20.
You are Samuel, that's what I'm saying. Because I asked the Lord for him.
That's right. So when Hannah's prayer is answered, she's thankful. Her new son's name is a permanent reminder of the answered prayer, because Samuel means God heard me. Verse 21. When her husband Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vows, this is the usual trip around the room, Elkanah. Hannah did not go away. She said to her husband,
after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always.
Do what seems best to you. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word.
So the woman stayed at home and nursed the son until she had weaned him and taught him how to play all the games. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, and he found a flour and a skin of wine and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, do you kill the bull? Great, thanks. They brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, verse 26.
Pardon me, my Lord. As surely as you are alive, I am a woman, stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this small child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord.
And he worshipped the Lord there. I mentioned a moment ago that Hannah is thankful, and we're going to move on to chapter 2. We see her thankfulness expressed beautifully here, a song or a prayer of praise that Emily will read to us. It starts with gratitude of her own answered prayer, but it moves on to rejoice in the grace of God on a wider scale, and showing God's big heart that goes beyond just her situation. This is your soliloquy. Go for it. Yeah.
My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children. She who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honour. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Lord Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed.
Great. Verse 11. Elkanah went home to Ramah, but the boy ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. I'm going to skip to verse 18, skipping over Eli's sons for now. Verse 18. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. Each year his mother made him a little robe and took it to him when she went up with her husband to offer the annual sacrifice. In verse 20, Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife, saying,
"Yes, come here, boy. May the Lord give you children by this woman to take the place of the one she prayed for and gave to the Lord."
Then they would go home, and the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Skipping to verse 26. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favour with the Lord and with people. Great, that's all the acting that is required. Thank you very much. Well done, cast.
Yeah,
Hannah
had 6 children, not quite 7.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's either 5 or 6, depending on whether that 3 sons includes 7 or not.
Yeah, I think 7 also is generally like, in the Bible, it's like it's a number for plenty.
Yeah.
It kind of doesn't necessarily mean it's in many ways.
I'll do a little pizza. This is a story of answered prayer, and more than one answered prayer. It's Hannah's prayer was answered as well as Eli's prayer for her was answered. Hannah makes an amazing vow to the Lord, giving over her son to God's service in the temple. God isn't someone who likes to be in debt, and Hannah is blessed with more children. And Samuel himself grows to be in a place of great authority and influence. Going on today with this is part of the People of God series we're doing with River, so just to look at some of the characteristics of Hannah. She doesn't lash out at Peninnah despite provocation. She could have got pretty cross with her. She kept praying. She kept turning to God. She could even have played on her husband's devotion to her, but she didn't. She comes to a place of total reliance on God and prays with honesty and with reality. And she's thankful. What does this mean to us and our lives, particularly if sometimes we feel empty or outside of God's blessing and favour? Firstly, have we tried praying? Sometimes that is literally the last thing we try. Praying for our situation is good. Secondly, have we tried sharing our situation with those who care about us and will pray for us? Hannah shares her fears with Eli, and he prays for her. I love it that we're spending some time during the worship at the moment just praying for each other. It's really good. If you, at this point, at any point, want prayer, grab someone. Grab the person next to you. Come and grab Pete. Or anyone. And say, pray for me. Thirdly, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of God's grace and love for us. Not all prayers are answered, and others take many years. But we encourage each other to persevere by sharing these things that get us down. The areas of our lives where we feel there's a lack of God's favour and grace, and by speaking encouraging words into each other's lives.